Good morning, church. This is Pastor Andrew. If you're not sure who I am, I'm the new associate pastor here at TPA. It's a wonderful delight to be with you here on camera this morning. I wish I could see all your lovely faces, but I'm excited for when I do get to see them all again. Just a quick announcement this morning that I wanted to let you know that Pastor Rob and I are at the church throughout the week. So if you would like to connect, feel free to give us a call or come and stop by. We're here for you. I just want to share a quick testimony of God's faithfulness. As you know, about 3 years ago, God called my family and I to leave from Surrey, BC, and to head over to Africa and then later on to Israel. And during that time, we just saw incredible blessing from the Lord of just God's faithfulness in releasing us with words from people who didn't know what God was speaking into our hearts already. And then just incredible financial blessing. And so if you fast forward now to January of this year, as we were looking at taking on the position here in Terrace, we were just wondering, okay, God, how are you going to release us into this position? What are you going to do? What's the faithfulness? We were looking to see the faithfulness of God in all of this. And so as we made the decision to take on the position and then fly over here to Terrace, little to us, we didn't know that come 1 month later, Israel would actually be on complete lockdown because of COVID-19. We didn't know that as we were arriving in Terrace that we would be in a mad rush to purchase vehicles and find a home and all of these things in the middle of a pandemic, and yet God stepped in. God was incredibly faithful, going ahead of us, seeing what we didn't see. His faithfulness has been so incredible to us that when we came here, we came to the realization that we wouldn't be able to purchase a home. And yet God broke through and he gave us a private lender through our family to be able to not only purchase a home, but we've been able to find some vehicles. And regarding the purchase of our home, it's incredible because it's the fastest possession I've ever seen. Within 1 week, we found a home that we could purchase and then move into. So I just want to encourage you this morning that as you've been praying, God has been moving. God is so faithful and he's so good. So I encourage you to just press in, continue to thank him, continue to just praise him, because God really is moving on all of our behalf. Make your requests known to him on behalf of yourself and on behalf of others, because he loves to hear from you. You are his treasured possession, his child, his loved one. And so he loves to hear from you. So I hope that blesses your heart this morning. I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Rob now.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew, for sharing those words of encouragement. As a church, I know that I've been asking you to pray. I want to thank you for your prayers, and I want to let you know you don't need to pray anymore because he's here, so our prayers have been answered. But I'm joking when I say that, because he's now making phone calls, trying to connect with youth. He's going on social media, connecting with the next generation. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray for Andrew, pray for his family. I pray that he would be able to connect with students in this way. I know we had a job description for him, and I just said, throw that in the shredder, because we're looking at a whole different kind of job here now in today's situation. So I wanted to start with the thought, as I've been making phone calls, going through the church directory, I've been connecting with you, I've just been interacting with people, my family, my blood family that doesn't know the Lord. And questions that are coming up and thoughts that are coming up is, are we in the end times? And I wanted to just refer to a passage of scripture in Luke. In Luke chapter 17, I just want to answer this before we get into the message this morning, because I don't want to give you my own thoughts. I want to give you God's word here. So in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 27, it says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah." So Jesus is referring to here, if we looked at a subheading, would say the coming of the kingdom of God. So we're looking at when Jesus comes a second time, what will it be like? It says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. So if you think about the days of Noah, Noah was looked at as almost ludicrous and ridiculous about building a giant boat in the middle of good times, in the middle of times where people were relaxing. We don't read that it was crazy times and there was a virus. We read it was they were eating and drinking and relaxing. It goes on to say in verse 28 and 29, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the days of Lot, the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Again, we see that people are eating, they're buying and selling, they're relaxing, they're being given in marriage. It also says here in verse 30, it will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on his roof of his house with his goods inside should go down and get inside and take them with him. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. If you remember Lot's wife, it says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, it says, but Lot's wife looked back. She looked back at her material possessions. She looked back for the things that of this world. And it says that she became a pillar of salt because she wasn't looking to God anymore. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in his bed, in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. And this is the key point here I want to make in verse 35. It says this. It says, two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. So in today's situation that we're facing, can two people really be together in the coronavirus situation where you can't be together? You're supposed to stay at home. So again, it's very, very clear here in Scripture that people are, they're relaxing, they're buying and selling, they're eating, they're being given in marriage. And you think about when Noah was around, people were just enjoying themselves, not worried about God coming. So right now, we kind of, some of us may be worried, we may be concerned. So biblically, that doesn't line up with when Jesus is going to come a second time. So how will we know when he comes? So let's just backtrack to verse 24 here. It says, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. It will come so quickly, we won't be prepared because we'll be buying and selling. We'll be on our rooftop fixing our roof. We'll be out picking berries or fishing. And then Jesus will show up a second time. So it will come like lightning. It will come so fast, like a thief in the night. So again, are we in the end times? Should we be concerned right now? I think we should be concerned for people, praying for people, but I don't believe scripturally we're in the end times. I hope that blesses you and you can breathe a big sigh of relief this morning. Now, what I really want to talk about, though, is in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. Let me just pause here for a second and let's just pray. God, this morning, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that really in today's situation, we need truth. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us. We need wisdom in these days. Father, we thank you that we can find it right here in your word. So God, I thank you that your word will speak to us this morning. It'll pierce hearts. It'll change minds in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Palm Sunday. So I want to refer to that in a little bit in Matthew, but I want to flip to Revelation right now and just see why Palm Sunday? What's the importance of that? So in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne. Isn't that wonderful news that there's going to be every tribe, every nation, every language, because we know that Jesus spoke English back in the day, so you know we got to have every language there, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they carried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So we see that in the end times, that we were just referring to, in the very end, there will be palm branches because palm branches represent a symbol of a triumph, a symbol of victory. Our God has victory, and we're going to read here in just a moment the victory that God has as he approaches Jerusalem. So if you were to refer to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we could find all accounts of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. We would find it in Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke chapter 9, and John chapter 12. So for this morning, though, we're going to refer to the majority of the story here in Matthew chapter 21. Now, this is just before, or just after, Jesus has risen his good friend Lazarus from the dead, and then he's making his journey to Jerusalem. So we'll pick it up in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what the prophet said. And who is this prophet? It's the prophet Zechariah. And Zechariah said this in chapter 9 of 9. So Zechariah 9:9, it says this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey." See, Zechariah said that 480 years before Jesus performs this miracle, in a sense, as he enters Jerusalem. We know that there is over 300 messianic scriptures. Messianic scriptures just means that there's a scripture that somebody wrote before Jesus showed up on the scene. Over 300 of those we would find in the New Testament. So this is a very important piece of scripture that Jesus fulfills, that there is a story of him that he now is fulfilling here. And riding in on the colt of a donkey represents peace, that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So he comes into Jerusalem in peace, riding on this donkey. Let's continue to read in verse 6. "The disciples went and did as Jesus has instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd grew and spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches, palm branches from the trees, and spread them across the road." And what does that mean to us, that Jesus shows up on the scene in this moment? And I think about the people of Jerusalem. We have to understand the context. We realize that Jesus is coming in. He had just, again, risen his good friend Lazarus from the dead. But understand what Jerusalem had been facing, what they had been witnessing. And let's just look at this through the eyes of Mark in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We would read these things. So this is before the triumphal entry. This is the people of Jerusalem had been witnessing certain things. So let's read this in Mark chapter 1. It says this, "In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it was written in Isaiah the prophet, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the path for him.' And so John came, baptizing the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside." Who? The whole Judean countryside. "And all the people of Jerusalem went out to him." So all the people of Jerusalem had seen John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus. Watch what it goes on to say. "Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey." Interesting character. And this is the message. "After me will come one more powerful than I." After me will come one more powerful than I. John was just saying this, and then now we see Jesus on the scene here. So every person had witnessed and heard that. "The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So we see there's a stirring in Jerusalem of things just kind of coming to pass. We see prophetic words coming to pass at this time. And we would read in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, it says this, "As he approached Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city..." So often there are stories of people coming down the Mount of Olives and they can physically see Jerusalem. They can see the whole city, you know, like the city line. You know, so many of us take photos, like when I was in New York, you take pictures. In Vancouver, you take pictures and you want to see the whole city skyline. They could see Jerusalem. And this is what Jesus said as he saw the city. It says this, "He wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known of this day, what would bring you peace?'" Jesus was just broken for the community as he saw them. He thought, the only peace they're ever going to find is in me. And he was so broken up by that, that people were going to turn their backs and crucify him. And that's the kind of Jesus that we serve. As he looks out at the world today, as he looks out at cities, he sees that they're broken, they're worried, they're in anxiety. And Jesus is saying, I'm coming, I'm here for you, I will bring you peace. That's really the message this morning, is that the only way you're going to ever find peace is in Jesus Christ. So let's continue the story in Matthew chapter 21. We'll get back to it in verse 8. So Matthew chapter 21, verse 8, it goes on to say this. And a very large crowd grew and spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed around him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. I hope this morning you have pre-watched the two worship videos I put on our TPA Connect. Just songs about Hosanna. Just Hosanna in the highest. Oh, our God is in the highest, and we would just worship him. Verse 10 goes on to say this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. So what have we learned, though, as we come to church over all these years, as we continue to hear God's word? I don't know how long you've been saved. You know, I'm coming up 20 years now. What have we learned? And when can I find peace? These are kind of some questions I want to refer to this morning. For me personally, as Omni has delivered four beautiful children, as she delivered them all, and just, you know, what kind of effort was I making there? You know, she was there. And so for our third child, so we had two boys, two girls, so our third is Celeste. So you know that. We got my two boys, Moses and Emmanuel, then we had Celeste and Vivian. And so when Amelie was in labor, or I guess, you know, having contractions with Celeste, we stayed at home for quite a while. We didn't want to just rest in the hospital for hours and hours. And then at some point, she's like, we need to go. And I said, okay, let's go. And like any good husband would do, is when he's driving, he's taking his time because he doesn't want to, you know, hit the bumps. He doesn't want to G-force corners. He's taking his time to get to the hospital safely. And she leans over and says, you need to go faster. You need to speed up. I need to get to the hospital quickly here. So, okay, yep. So we get to the hospital, and, you know, as we're going through the hospital hallways, you know, you have to stop. Because during contractions, you can't keep walking. And I don't understand that, but I can relate to it. So we're stopping, and then we finally get into the room. I put her on the bed, so we're good. And I go to take my jacket off, and I go to put it away in the closet, and I turn around, and just being, you know, not graphic, but G-rated, Celeste's head is out. And the nurse had gone to phone the doctor. It was late at night. And I said, don't phone the doctor. Get in here. We're delivering a baby. So the nurse and I delivered Celeste. And this was so long ago that we didn't have ultrasound. So I didn't know what gender it was because I'm that old. And so whenever we saw the gender, then I was always there with Amelie holding her hand. And I was able to tell her, like, it's a boy or it's a girl, you know. So I told her it's a girl. And then we got it all. And we cut things. And then we put it on the put Celeste on the scale, the doctors took her out. And then I honestly was like super lightheaded. I had to sit down. It just happened so fast. I wasn't ready for that. And I know as a man, you're thinking like, what effort were you making in the whole delivery process? But I don't know, I was putting my jacket up ready to prepare myself to be there to support my wife, but it had just come so fast. Isn't it like today? You know, we had kind of heard of this coronavirus. We knew that it was coming, and so I went on holidays. I thought, oh, I'll have time to go on holidays. As soon as I go on holidays, I realize I should not be on holidays. I should go home. This is getting crazy. And so it's almost like maybe you feel a little unprepared. Maybe even this morning as I'm standing here in front of the camera. I didn't sign up for this. I like you. I want to see you here in the church service and in our church building, but this is reality. We just have to kind of adapt and be ready. But do you have peace through that? That's really the question we need to be answering. We need to be asking ourselves is, do we still have peace through this situation? Is this completely out of control? Are my thoughts completely leading me astray? Where can we find peace? And we just read, we saw that Jesus, as he approached Jerusalem, as he approached people, he said, oh, that they would understand, that they would just receive me and they would find peace. Even in difficult times, they could find peace and joy. So I want to look at it just quickly. The Apostle Paul, wonderful guy, wrote some scriptures, wrote to some churches in the New Testament. We're going to look in Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4 here, we read this in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. There's no stipulation there. It's not about rejoice when you're doing well. Rejoice when your bank account's full. Rejoice when you're working. Rejoice when you can get into the church building. Just rejoice always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let everybody know that you have peace and you have joy. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, give with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If you do those things, the next verse here, because we can't just cherry pick a verse out and go, watch what it says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can't just inherit that and just say, and the peace of God will be with me always. What does it say to do? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all as the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything give by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Do you see that he's asking us of something? And if we do it, look at the answer. Look what happens, what it equals. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is great, great news. It also goes on to say this in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I had to kind of dial back how much social media and how much news I was watching because I was losing focus on this. I was allowing all the other things of the world to influence my thinking and my thoughts. So I just toned that back a bit so that I could be thinking like this, whatever's true. Oh, the word of God is true. Think about how great this is right now. I mean, this isn't like, oh, praise God for the virus. You know, it's like, hey, praise God, though, that we are able to stay home. We're able to spend more time with the Lord. We're able to spend more time with our family. The government is paying you to stay home and be with your family. I know that long term it'll be difficult to have no income and maybe living on EI is going to be challenging. But praise God, you've got more time to spend with him to think about the things that are pure and noble and right and lovely. And it goes on to say excellent and praiseworthy. Think about such things. Think about these things all the time, whether in good seasons or in bad seasons, challenging seasons or not. It goes on to say this in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Again, what have we in your Christian walk, loving God, what have you learned through time? You know, how much knowledge have you acquired by studying the scriptures? How much have you learned? So when tough times come, you know where you stand. The second thing is, what have you received? Man, we've received the good news. We've received the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts. That's what we have received. What have you heard about? What have you heard God say to you? What have you heard God kind of lean into you and encourage you with? What have you actually physically seen in your life? Have you seen miracles? Have you seen God at work in your family? Have you seen God at work in our church and in our community? These are the kinds of things that we are to rejoice in always. These are the kind of things that we're to press into. Whatever's true, whatever you've learned, all these kind of things. We just go through the list, man, we just rattle them off really fast. True and noble and right and pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. What have we learned and received and heard and seen in our God? These are the kind of things we should be filling our minds up with So that, watch what it ends here with. It's just brilliant. Again, we couldn't just cherry pick this part out because it comes as a package deal. But if we do these kind of things, watch what it says here. This is the third time I've read something like this. And the God of peace will be with you. We're not going to find peace anywhere else. We're not going to find rest anywhere else. If you're losing sleep and you're stressed out, you have to press into these kind of things. The word of God is so clear to us this morning that as we press into God, he will bring us peace. He will bring us through this situation. So that's an easy answer. But here, I want to just kind of spend a minute on one thing. So we definitely need peace in our current situation. Because we know that we're going to face historically other situations, other very difficult situations. I know that there's some challenging situations for certain people even just right now. So we can find peace in our God. We can read scriptures. I mean, I pulled out three scriptures. We can preach all day here about finding the peace of God as we pursue God. So we need that. But what happens after today? What do you ultimately need peace with to feel that you have content, to feel happy, to feel like you've got joy and peace? You ultimately need to have peace with your Heavenly Father. So I don't know where you're at this morning, where you land with God, how your trust is in God, how your faith is in God because of your current situation, because of the current situation where you're in. But I want to challenge you to think about that today and this week. As we get closer to our Good Friday service, as we get closer to Easter Sunday, I want you to know on Friday there'll be a church ministerial putting together a video online for you, so a Good Friday service. It was supposed to be held at the Alliance Church this year, but obviously we'll have to postpone that till next year. And then we'll be back next Sunday for the Easter service here. But I really want you to challenge your heart. Where is your heart at? Do you have peace with God? Is there something that has separated your relationship with God? Is there something in the way of your trust with God? Press into that today. I pray in Jesus' name that you would find peace in God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you guys. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday. As always, appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.